You're listening to Save My City, part of the We Love Where You Live podcast series brought to you by the Michigan Municipal League. Here's your host, Tony Mangini.
Thank you for joining us again for the Save My City podcast. I'm happy to be joined this morning by Ridgeway White. And Ridgeway is the president of the C.S. Mott Foundation, and they have been incredibly supportive of this entire effort. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me here today.
I wanted to take time to chat with you guys because you guys have been really, as I said, instrumental in trying to help get this message out, getting people to understand we have a broken municipal finance system or something. It's probably not something you normally think of a foundation getting involved with. What is it that led you guys to say this is something we need to be supportive of?
You know, your leading question there was led. And, the Flint water crisis, certainly we were attuned to municipal finance issues before the Flint water crisis. But with the Flint water crisis, you saw what happens when cities are discounted for decades and entire populations are. And, you know, we've got tons of cities across the state that are economically distressed to the point where they're struggling to meet basic services. And that's what happened in Flint, Michigan. And that led to a disaster here.
You know, I talk about that a lot when I talk about this, because most people think about Flint and they start talking about lead standards and other things. And that's not really what it was about. I mean, all the things you talked about is what led to this. We had a system that was broken, a community that was basically economically crippled because of the lack of funding. And they were sort of forced to make decisions with only dollars in mind, and they ignored all the other parameters that did that, and that really put them in a precarious position. And for folks that don't know, the Mott Foundation is actually headquartered here in Flint, Michigan. And so you guys really were on the ground firsthand dealing with some of this stuff. I've heard you guys talk before too. You've really, because of how messed up the system is, you guys are funding things you wouldn't normally fund in terms of just kind of basic core services. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, philanthropy should make things better or improve or come up with new solutions. You know, we've been forced or challenged to come back and fund some basic services. And, you know, at the end of the day, if you can't meet basic services, you know, you can't have a productive society. And so, we've funded things like police. We've funded a switch back to the Detroit water system. You know, that occurred when the elevated lead levels in the children were discovered. I was sitting in my office and said, you know, we've got to do something. And so I called the governor. My story is, people weren't around. I said, I got to get hold of the governor. I've got to do something. And I didn't know the governor. So I Googled Governor Snyder's telephone number and got a hold of him.
God love the internet.
Hey, we got to do something. You know, I think we should make a switch back to the Detroit water system. Science is saying that, you know, if you have proper anti-corrosive, consistent water supply, in, you know, 6 to 12 months, the water should return to pre-crisis level. So we made a grant of $4 million. The state put in money. The city put in $2 million. This is pre-declaration emergency, and we made the switch back in less than 3 weeks. And that was probably fundamentally one of the best grants we made.
Oh, for sure.
But it wasn't our role. You know, we shouldn't have had to have done that. And if it hadn't have been for the decades of disinvestment and the change in structure and how the state funds municipalities, you know, we wouldn't have been in this water crisis. This is fundamentally about a cutting of services to the point where it's almost criminal.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, when you talk about, think about what makes a community strong, right? You've got to be able to provide those core services you're talking about. And the only way that Flint, or any community for that matter, can be successful is to be able to attract businesses, to attract residents. You're not going to be able to do that if you can't provide those core services. So you get caught in this horrible death spiral where you're cutting further services to try to balance budgets, further driving down things and making it less attractive. So the whole model is messed up. And you talk about that lack of funding coming from the state. Flint, the last time I looked, I think they've lost over $60 million just in revenue sharing, not to mention losses due to the tax, property tax system we have here in Michigan. So they are incredibly challenged in trying to do some of this stuff. And in a large way, I look at them as the canary in the coal mine. I mean, they are leading this. A lot of folks look at Flint and say, well, we're not going to have those issues or whatever. But the reality is everybody, every community in Michigan is playing by the same rules. Doesn't matter if you're a county, a city, a township, schools for that matter, right? We all have this property tax system that we're living with that just doesn't work. And so when we look here, we should be looking here and learning lessons and saying we need to take steps now to try to address some of this stuff. And I think that's, as you know, that's really what our Save My City initiative has been all about.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, last year you were on a panel at Mackinac with the mayor of Grand Rapids. And, you know, an affluent community that's doing well, one of the best performing communities in the state by all intents and purposes. And, you know, she's struggling, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think I remember her saying that.
Absolutely.
And you know, you think about Detroit. You mentioned Flint, what it lost. What has Detroit lost in the last period of time from lack of revenue?
Almost share? $1 billion.
Almost $1 billion. Think about what that could do for the equality of, you know, fighting this tale of two cities. You know, Detroit's booming in the downtown, but what could they do for the neighborhoods?
Well, I always like to point out, not quite for Detroit, but in Flint's case, the amount of revenue sharing lost is greater than their deficit ever was. Just to give you a little perspective of how much that would have meant to the community. So it's a real significant loss of revenue to them over time and stuff. You know, you talked about the panel. You guys were wonderful enough to sponsor a panel last year, another panel this year, both of which I thought were really well received. And I was fortunate enough to participate in both of those. But this year's I really thought was kind of interesting because of the makeup of that panel. I think it really spoke to everybody in different sectors is starting to see that this is a real issue. We had Doug Rothwell, who leads Business Leaders for Michigan, as the moderator. We had Gordon Crater, former managing partner, Plant Moran, big company executive, there saying it's a problem. We had a mayor from Minneapolis, Chris Coleman, who came in and talked about their successes in thinking about this differently. And I know you were there. In fact, you introduced the panel and kicked it off. What was your take on it? I mean, what does that say to you about how this problem is being viewed, not just in government sectors, but sort of across the state as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, it was a tremendous panel, packed room. I was excited to see it and hear the messages. One of the things that was driven home to me was the fact that talent, you know, goes to places that people want to live, and businesses follow talent. So if you can't attract talent because you have a depressed urban center, then you're not going to attract business. And so I think that's why you saw Business Leaders of Michigan and other groups there that were really interested in how do you continue this turnaround state, right? How do we continue to see that, you know, everybody there wants to see Michigan succeed? Well, if you have a broken municipal finance system, you know, our trajectory is just going to go, you know, just sort of along the economy, and we're not going to get the J curve.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. I thought one of the other things that came out was kind of interesting. There was a lot of the conversation went to the idea that this isn't just about give cities money. It's about investing. And when you sort of think of it in a business context, and certainly that was a room full of business people, businesses invest. They invest in R&D. They invest in their manufacturing and income generating capacity, which in our case would be infrastructure and services. And when you get them to realize that we're not doing that, you see a lot of light bulbs going on in the room. And to me, that was kind of encouraging. And I think part of the challenge we face now is how do we convert that awareness now to action? How do we engage that community as part of this? And I know those panels were part of that. But to me, I think that's a big part of where we go from here. Would you agree with that? Or
I think you're right on. I think it's got to become an issue. It's got to go beyond politics to, you know, real life.
Absolutely. So you say politics, though, and everything that we do, unfortunately, at least in my world, gets wrapped up in that politics. And we're in an interesting time right now. We're coming into elections. We're going to lose over 100 folks in the House and Senate swapping out. We'll have a new governor in place. All of which is an opportunity, and I guess at the same time, it's how do you get those folks to be more aware and be more engaged in that? Any thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, you know, balanced budgets are amazing for the state of Michigan. You have to have them, but you also have to have a balanced budget in the hometown that you live in, because if you don't have proper police, parks, etc., the quality of life goes down, and therefore the whole turnaround strategy for Michigan turns around. And, you know, we don't want to see that. We want to continue to see the state of Michigan with a balanced budget, but we want to see these municipalities with balanced budgets as well.
And absolutely. And that's one thing. I think, though, I want to challenge just a little bit. When you reduce it down to balancing the budget, I think that's the mistake we've made so far. Because if in the state's eyes, if your budget is balanced, if you're not running a deficit, then by gosh, you must be a great community, a great place. The reality is you may have completely depleted your services to do some of that stuff. So I think what we need to do is think about communities more as an asset in this economic turnaround, rather than some place we send money to. It should be looked at as an investment and the best thing we have. When you think of all of the resources that Michigan has that we can bring to bear, our universities, our environmental things. I mean, we got most of the fresh water in the world, for goodness sake. There's so many things that we bring to the table, and we're playing that into a losing hand because I don't think we're characterizing that. And the other thing that strikes me, and it struck me when we were at the panel, and I think I know I talked about it in some post interviews. I don't think I said it in the panel, but this shouldn't even be, this isn't a Democrat or Republican issue. This is a Michigan issue. Everyone should recognize, I don't care who the candidate is and what party they're running from, they need to have a strategy to address how do you make our communities, the places where people live and work, stronger and better and able to attract and retain that talent. I mean, I think that that is, and I know that's really what we're trying to do here with the Save My City thing, is how do we elevate this in everyone's mind's eye so it becomes a real issue that people have to talk about, not just because we're creating pressure to do it, because you know what? It makes good sense to do that.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's a good call. Let me ask this. What's the solution? So I hear that there's existing policy that does work. What's the solution for this?
That's a great question. And I don't think it's any one thing. There's not a silver bullet in this. But I think, you know, first, when we talked about early in this conversation, right, revenue sharing, the state has disinvested at the local level going back all the way to the Engler administration. So lest anyone think I'm picking sides here and saying, you know, it's anyone. Engler's done it for his whole time. Granholm did it for a whole time. And Engler, you know, started the fund back when he said, that's how long this disinvestment pattern has continued. And it's now, we've actually updated the figure. We've been talking about $8.1 billion with the latest updated figures. We're now at $8.6 billion of diverted revenue. And when I say that, that means they've taken money that was supposed to flow to everyone's community, to everyone's hometown, to provide local services, invest in infrastructure, deal with those things. And they basically poured it back into the state and funding the bureaucracy there. And a lot of those investments have gone, you know, what I would characterize as going into the balance sheet, you know, paying down their legacy escrow and stuff, which I get. I understand the accounting, you know, rationale behind doing that, but it's not moving the needle. And no one's moving here because we've paid down our legacy costs at the state level. And we've done so at the expense, again, of your town and mine. So that's the first thing we got to address. We've got to reprioritize what we're doing at the state level there. We did some surveying as part of our Save My City work, and 86% of people when surveyed, when you ask them, would you want your tax dollars, what you're paying now, would you rather see it go to the state or would you rather see it spent locally? 86% said, I want it to be spent locally. I'm still trying to figure out who the other 14 are, because I don't know why anyone would say, send it off to Lansing, but 14 did. So that's part of it. The second thing, big thing, and I mean, I could go here for the next 3 hours with ideas, but the second biggest thing is our property tax system. And right away, that scares people because they think I'm about to say we need to raise everybody's taxes. And that's not what we have. But because we have two constitutional amendments here that don't interact very well, we actually have a system that doesn't allow our communities to track with the economy. And so there's a mistaken belief that because the economy is stronger at the moment, your city must be doing better, right? They're benefiting from all this economic activity, but our model's built in such a way that that doesn't happen. We saw communities lose up to 50% of their taxable value. And the way our system's built, it's now stuck at those lower levels and just now goes back to increasing at inflation. Their service demands didn't change, just their ability to provide them changed. So we need to give that a rethink. We could make some tweaks to that that wouldn't raise anybody's taxes tomorrow, but would allow that economic tracking in the future. It would give us a little bit of inflationary protection, not inflationary, I'm sorry, recessionary protection next time we get a recession. And then, of course, a lot of people like to counterpunch with, well, you got to do more cooperative efforts, and if we consolidate, we did some of that stuff. I don't think that that's really true. I think that there is some incremental opportunities there, perhaps. And there are literally thousands of examples where we do that. You mentioned one early in the conversation. Detroit Water and Sewer is one that's existed for years. That is a multi-community, multi-county system ranging all the way to Flint and beyond and south to Monroe. I mean, it's an enormous system. There are dozens, hundreds, thousands of those examples around the state. Some are big like that. Some are small. So communities do a pretty good job of identifying those things. And then the last thing we need to deal with, too, is the legacy cost situation. That is a real problem. I mean, it's in the billions of dollars. And the legislature needs to give communities tools to really address those right now. They've basically said, hey, let's identify there's a problem, which no one's denying there is. but given us no tools to correct it. And so we need to be thinking a little more boldly about what can we do there to do this. I think if we could make progress on those three fronts, I think it would be transformational for Michigan. And if you want to get beyond that, you can look around the country and see other sort of really innovative things that communities do, or, because their states allow them to do them, to really further foster that, you know, creating great places and doing things that can really be huge in terms of attracting and retaining talent. And again, those things all go together. You know, the business, the and the individuals and the strength of the community all tie together. I love to point out to people that, you know, if you look at our population trends versus the rest of the country, if we had just kept pace since 1980, not grown faster or anything else, just kept pace with the rest of the country, we'd have 14 million people living in Michigan instead of 10. That's a significantly different economic animal, political thing, the clout we would have. So by staying the same, we're losing ground. We're losing tremendous ground. So challenging that, how do we get that to turn around and come back? I mean, and it's not something that's going to happen next year, but if we could really make this the kind of place where people want to come, and there's no reason we can't, then I think we start to really see that transformational change that changes the landscape for Michigan.
That'd be terrific.
Yeah, it would, wouldn't it? So when you look at the election coming up, I mean, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, what would you like to see candidates saying, talking about as it relates to this? Any thoughts about that?
You know, when it comes to Michigan, I think that, you know, cities need to be on the agenda. Put them on the agenda. Look at the Flint water crisis as an example of what we don't want to do ever again. You know, it just, you know, being based in Flint, Michigan, you know, it's a travesty when it happens at all. But when it's in your hometown, it's completely devastating. And so, you know, I think we're trying to rebound. But, you know, the rebound effort with, you know, this sort of financing system and the lack of revenues and with the long tail that the water crisis has provided is challenging.
Mm-hmm. And you see, you know, and the Flint crisis was just, it was just, you know, I don't know the words. I mean, it's really hard to believe that this happened in our state. But again, you look at that and you realize, you use the phrase, the long tail of that, right? So by not being proactive and you know, we've been sounding the alarm about this for quite some time, saying we need to think about things differently. Look what the impact was. As you point out, it's now going to cost significantly more for many, many years, not to mention the human impacts, which are really devastating for folks that have had to endure some of this stuff. And I think we forget that sometimes. We sort of, it's a news story for a while and we move on past that. This is something that if we don't deal with, the long tail, as you put it, of this can be substantial and horribly expensive and have tremendous human impact. So we've got to be willing to take this opportunity now. I'm fearful personally, and I think a lot of folks are, that if we don't take steps in the coming months here to deal with some of this stuff, if we have another major recession, we're going to have lots of communities failing. There are a lot of communities that really, there's no more tricks up their sleeve to try to balance budgets, do things. You're going to see a lot of widespread issues with communities across the state. And I think that would be tragic because I think we have an opportunity right now in a strong economic environment to start making some real changes here that could move the needle and set Michigan up for a different future.
Yeah, you're right. You got to plant the seed now for the future so that, you know, when an opportunity comes around, when a business, when a Amazon HQ2 comes, you know, that we have the things in place that makes Michigan attractive.
Yeah, boy, and we could talk about the Amazon thing for another 20 minutes here because that is another one that everything that we've been saying we need to do, Amazon basically put it in writing and said, hey, this is what we're looking for. And it's unfortunate because had we been putting those things in place for the last decade plus, we might be having a different conversation here, talking an exciting conversation about how they're coming to our state and the impacts that's going to have in a positive way. And instead, it's another, you know, company that decided to do something different because we didn't do the types of things that we know we need to do.
Yeah. Although that said, I give Amazon credit for giving everybody a shot because there's a lot of conversations occurring in back rooms silent with headquarters that are second or first that aren't even coming to Michigan. Mm-hmm. And so at least we know what we have to do now. And I think that, you know, revenue sharing for cities is one of the essential components because, you know, we've got to invest in our future.
You know what? I don't know a better way to end it other than say that we need to invest in our future. So I really appreciate you taking the time to do this morning. And again, I want to thank Ridgeway White with the C.S. Mott Foundation. And again, thank you for all of your support and the work that we're trying to do. We couldn't do it without you. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Save My City campaign's terrific.
This has been a production of the Michigan Municipal League. For more information on our programs and services, please visit www.mml.org and join us for the next episode of We Love Where You Live.